Okay, we're reconvened to the special meeting, actually, at just 1:05 and a half, 2:05 and a half. And we have a possible action, and Jim, would you summarize that for us?
Sure. In an effort to aid us in our legal situation that we're in right now in a public records case, the court has weighed the options on hiring a forensic investigator to come and look at our system to make sure that all of our searches over the last year have been adequate. We're making a proposal to the commission to hire a forensic investigator who's very highly recommended and to conduct those searches. We don't have an exact scope of the work, but we're thinking that the magnitude will be somewhere in the $10,000 to $12,000 for this particular task.
I did take a look at the engagement letter, and then from that I also got highly scientific and did a Google search, and was very impressed with the gentleman's background and qualifications, former Washington State Patrol officer, former Secret Service agent, pretty stellar credentials to bring to a task like this. And I understand from that also he's got extensive training in this area and experience as well. So,
I looked it over too. I was concerned about pay all costs in consideration of this matter, which is more than the hourly costs. So that's in there on paragraph 4. Yep. But that still is under the law. The only thing that other caught my attention was, which I mentioned earlier, is that if he hands the files over to us after processing it, then we also have the software to process those files. Because it's in a format that we don't have, we can't process, because it's apparently transferred into his system. We have to have the ability at the end of this thing to archive that with all the software that's needed to, whatever.
Yeah, I did understand, and correct me if you've got a different understanding, anyone, that his services include he would maintain copies of his work for us for a year on his system, and if we and he would notify us before he deleted them or destroyed them. If we needed them stored longer, he could do that.
Yep.
That's separately.
Right, for 3 years
and
all.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe just from an archival standpoint that eventually we have them tucked away.
Yeah, maybe there. I'm thinking about proprietary software that's been developed to do black box sort of things that may or may not even work in our environment. But the possibility of converting the documents into something that's storable.
So that we have something we can use. That's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about when I read that paragraph about him turning it over to us. Well, we'll be able to read them.
Yeah.
That was the question.
Yeah. Well, I move that we authorize the executive director to sign the engagement letter on behalf of the port.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good. So that takes us to staff comments, and Juanita?
Yeah.
Going light on a system.
So everything in the income, the first page is profit and loss budget for special. Income is anything over 83.34%. That's pretty good. So of course, same as previous years or months, but the fuel looks funny because if we separate unleaded and diesel, so if you add those two together, the percentage is 119.19%.
say your magic number was, 85%?
For the field?
No.
Oh, magic number is 83.84.
83, okay.
Consulting fees, which are obviously much higher than we anticipated, where is the overage in that?
Heartland.
Heartland.
So we'll be reimbursed $35,000 as soon as Curb sends us a check. So actually, that's going to get us under budget.
Got it.
Great. And, it will never show that because we're on a cash basis, but we will be getting $35,000 to offset that.
Just in a nutshell, where are we on the Curb submission?
It is submitted. So
I noticed you didn't say it is finished.
I don't know. Well, I think it's finished. I haven't gotten any emails back saying you need to add five more things.
It would be nice from a cash accounting standpoint if they could put that in this calendar year.
I would agree. I'm pushing for it. If Curb has money.
So the miscellaneous other, which is?
That's where we put the employee appreciation dinner.
I'm sorry, that's where we put it?
Employee appreciation dinner
in the month. Oh, okay.
This is from January up to the end of October. So.
And that's the danger of only looking at the percentage instead of looking at, are we talking about $10 or $10 million? Because obviously $2,600 isn't.
You guys will also note the reconciliation discrepancy. We had issues with our credit card, our field credit card machines. Somebody forgot to go in, but it came later, and it happened at the end of the month, so you'll see it again November. November is monthly, but they will balance each other out. But it is fixed now.
And that is where now on?
On the expenses, all the way at the bottom, reconciliation discrepancy of 369.39.
Oh, office code repeat.
And the last two pages are the costs. I did note the shaded gray areas are the parks split into park and Christmas park.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
The park class cost is separated between Christmas lights.
Got it.
And the park.
You want to give us a precis when it comes up with probably what it's going, or do you want to do that, Jim?
I'll do it.
Okay.
give me some time off, please. that's it.
So not much on this end. Just passing out the December calendar of events. Just fun stuff going on around town, and you know, we have one thing that has come up that I will require a motion from the board on. Just based on some discussion, and was it a work session or a public or a special meeting that I did not attend, but it was discussed changing the December meeting date. It currently is scheduled for Wednesday, December 27th, and I would need a motion from the board to reschedule that for the prior Wednesday, December 20th, 1 o'clock p.m., if that is the board's preference to reschedule. That would be rescheduled as a special meeting.
And it's already showing here on
us. I anticipated the change.
So we had talked about it, and we all thought it was a good idea, but we needed to formalize it with our motion, is what you're saying. All right.
Yeah.
So is there a motion to change the meeting, the special meeting, the regular meeting to a special meeting in December from the 27th to the 20th?
So move.
Second.
All in favor? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any things on the December calendar here that we should be particularly aware of? You know, like me not seeing that there's a transportation forum coming up in the past and things like that.
Well, we do have, there is a transportation forum that'll be coming up. At the Kitsap Transit, the fourth quarterly community meeting will be taking place here at the Village Green. And that is Saturday, December 9th from 3 to 4. Trying to think of what else really pops out. We do have... Mary is speaking at the Chamber Luncheon, and that is Thursday, December 7th, and she's speaking on behalf of Team Kingston, if I'm not mistaken. And let's see, we have got, you will note that for Monday, December 4th, it is tentatively placed on the schedule for the, it's a tentative scheduled hearing for December 4th. We are waiting to hear back from legal counsel as far as whether or not that will solidify for the calendar. We do have the office ribbon cutting on the same day as the Kingston Cove Christmas, which includes Santa coming to town. We're going to welcome everybody to check out the new office and, you know, get ready to end the season right and start the new year right.
So the holiday gift fair, will that be in...
I don't know.
That's here at Kingston Cove, and it, or excuse me, Village Green, and
it does say the Port of Kingston. So I.
Oh my goodness, that is my mistake. I will amend that. We're not having a gift fair, although it would be really fun if that is actually happening here at the Village Green on that day. So.
I was wondering if my office was going to turn into a
little venue.
That's when Santa Claus gives you your new office as a gift.
Yeah.
The gift that you have to pay for.
And so has Rick Eveleth contacted you about the...
about the...
Excuse me. The panels that were painted by him and the high schools and middle schools and auctioning them. Any other comments about the... I so appreciate that you do this.
Yeah. It's good to have it all in one place. I keep looking at it. Should have to remember to keep looking at it.
So three things for me. One, an update on the sign. As you can see, the weather has not been kind to the gentleman who's putting down the stone, so we are behind schedule. But PSE is certainly dragging their feet, getting us power out there too. So we do have a trench already, but we don't have a power line to it. We're hoping to have the sign working for the Christmas lights. We'll see. It won't take long once it's all in. Had a meeting with Transit. Good meeting. We had their finance director there, their operations, ferry operations manager, John Clausen, and I don't know what Stephanie's title is, but Stephanie was there.
Planning director, probably.
So they have reorganized their budget to include the $1.25 million for the Kingston Terminal. It needs to be approved by their board. John didn't think that was going to be an issue, but it hasn't been formally approved by their board yet. And then the discussion really centered on an agreement. And that's something that we really need to get before anything happens, is how we're going to work with Transit, how long a commitment we're going to do, who does what, those kind of things. So the devil's in the details as far as how that's going to work. It was suggested that FTA does this all the time. They have 20 lawyers on staff. Stephanie was going to FTA to see if they had a draft agreement that transportation organizations use with municipalities, so that we don't have to totally reinvent the wheel on an agreement between the two entities. So more to follow on that. All in all, it was a very positive meeting. The last thing is the auditor, the state auditor, is here, as you know. This is a very thorough audit. She is conducting. She's been keeping Juanita very, very busy. She's already found things that most of the time an auditor wouldn't find, like dog biscuits and coffee, but that's their job. The thing that did come out, though, is the transition from, and I hate to use people's names, but from Scott to Nancy, that was a period when we went from accrual basis to cash basis. And there are some issues on how that was done. Nothing that there's money missing or anything. It's just all the money wasn't reported in the right categories. So they're spending a lot more time than they thought they were going to spend on the audit. They've given us a budget of $18,000 to complete the audit, and they're reevaluating that as to how much more time it's going to take to sort through some of the issues. They did give us the option of throwing it on Juanita's desk and say, fix this, throwing it back at our accounting firm and say, fix this, or them doing it. I personally feel it would be my recommendation to the commission to let them figure out how they want to see it. We can guess, but if they actually do the sorting and Juanita's right by their side, she will know in the future how the state auditor wants to see it. And I think it's a beneficial training exercise and getting it done the way they want it. I don't think it's going to result in any findings, but we might get some management letters that say, you know, you did it this way, but probably should have done it this way.
So is Dennis being looped in here? Because he's a point of continuity during that period. Mm-hmm. Probably has some understanding of how the transition took place.
He is not at this time, but he probably will be at some point.
I'd recommend, if you can, loop Dennis in. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll answer some questions. The other people are gone, mm-hmm. for one thing.
Well, we have been talking with Michelle.
So okay. So his office, I meant, really.
Yes, she's been involved.
Question before we move on, are we still looking at interviewing for Port Council the week of December 4th?
The second week of December.
It was week of 11.
Because of the court date, the tentative court date, we decided to move to the second week of December.
So that'd be the 11th.
Somewhere
that week. Yeah. I have some out-of-town travel planned at the end of that week, but the first of that week, where Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is all fine.
Is okay? I have talked to all three prospective attorneys, and they're available that week, so we'll get that.
Do you have a date for that yet?
I don't. It's going to be Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Of the 11th, 12th, or 13th?
Right.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments for staff? Commissioner reports?
I have nothing to report.
I guess since I was the only one at the board conference of the commissioners anyway, I'll give you a little rundown on that. The legal committee, I had a couple of takeaways. One is that as we're all familiar with the change in the law or the evolution in the law dealing with setting price and executive session for mm-hmm. commissioners on leases, the WPPA has provided a draft best practices policy that was passed out at that time, and they're wanting comment and input. I'll give my copy to Jim, and he can give everybody a copy so everybody will see it. I looked at it and didn't see anything that really jumped out at me, but you know, obviously other people could. There was another update on Public Records Act cases. It seems like every time we get together, there's an update in new cases. And this time there were at least two new cases, I think, cited since Leavenworth. So it's a crazy world. One thing that I think I'm going to suggest we look at, and that is the idea of charging for records. One of the changes that was made in the past legislative session had a provision that, as written, seemed to provide that if you had to go outside of your standard staffing to hire someone to do things that your agency normally does not do or doesn't have the expertise to do, then that would be a cost you could pass on to the requester. It seems that that is being interpreted, at least initially, no court has looked at that yet, but by attorneys and practitioners, in a very narrow scope. And I don't think that's the way the drafters intended it, but that's the philosophy that seems to be following. Secondly, there's a...
What do you mean by narrow?
That it is very difficult to find a circumstance that fits within the range of costs that you can get reimbursed for.
Okay.
so it may not, in the end, it may not be much of a change at all. And there was also a provision in there that had totally escaped a lot of people, which is that if you're going to, you know, there's certain, you can charge actual costs, like copying and photocopies, electronic copies, and so on. Or if you determine that's too, it's unduly burdensome to do that, you can charge these sort of default rates, or you can charge a flat $2 per request. The default rates are the ones we're all familiar with, 15 cents a copy, you know, so on and so on. But now it appears that you need to have a rule and regulation declining or declaring the reasons why it would be unduly burdensome to use the default rate structure in place of the $2 flat fee. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that's apparently what was written into the statute.
On a situational basis?
On a policy.
On a policy level.
Mm-hmm. So I lay all this out with the goal of suggesting we look at maybe we just don't charge anything for public records requests. The cost that we incur keeping track of the costs we're going to charge mm-hmm. probably exceed what we would bring in. And so I'll throw that into staff's bucket of things to think about and maybe come back to us the first of the year. It would certainly simplify. And if it's a matter of spending dollars to chase pennies, why bother?
The $2 charge is for the entire request?
Yes.
No matter how many records are involved, no matter how many copies.
Right.
Oh, that doesn't seem like a good deal
for us. Surprising our request is kind of extraordinary. The push has been to try to database it, make it accessible from the website. So you never really go there because the public just can go there and get what they want.
Yeah.
You know, most of the stuff that people want to know about rates and things like that.
In most cases, I think we can do that pretty readily. It's the extraordinary cases that become problematic. So, for example, hiring a forensic expert to search, at least under the philosophy that people were discussing in that setting, would not be compensable. It could not be passed on. It doesn't matter that you have no one on staff who has any ability or training to do that or the equipment to do it.
If I forget from our policy, but do we have a declaration that we don't have an index and why?
Yes, we do. Okay. I do remember that from our policy. The unduly burdensome issue. Yeah.
And if I may add to that, another part of that House bill that was passed, what was that, May of this year?
Yeah.
Included that the Secretary of State could provide training and support to employees of public agencies, and there is a grant program that has been approved. The Secretary of State's office has not moved forward with that as of yet, and so we're kind of watching it like a hawk, because from what I remember, I believe it will approve grant monies up to $5,000 per agency to improve technology or things of that nature to better support the public records fulfillment. But with that, the program terminates in 2020, and they haven't started the grant program yet. So
we may be left with a year and a half window to kind of hop on that. So we're watching it.
That's good.
So is it technology or staff training or both?
Well, the staff training is actually will be provided free of charge. Of course, there may be some travel involved, and so the constraints of where the grant will reimburse for travel as far as that's concerned, but is yet to be determined. But it's still vague yet, because like I said, they haven't released all of those details of the grant program yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another part of the legal committee meeting was a presentation on attorney-client privilege, unintended waivers, things of that nature, and all the hot-button issues that they pointed at. I didn't sweat over any one of them. We seem to be doing okay in that category.
What is an unintended waiver?
hitting reply all in a situation where someone has added an attorney-client communication to an email that then came out from a whole bunch of people. Okay. And so if you get something and you attach a memo from Kathleen, but you hit reply all and it goes to a bunch of people outside the other commissioners and the...
And then what happens?
Then the attorney-client privilege is deemed waived.
Okay.
And it's sort of like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube.
Right, right. I was trying to imagine how we were going to possibly try to hold on to it. So, okay.
We had a very interesting presentation that launched the chief economist from Wandamere Real Estate. And I don't know if that's available on the WPPA website.
Said it's going to be.
If you can take a look at that, he's an interesting, entertaining speaker. And a lot of what he said just reinforced my belief about what the fast ferry impact is going to be on Kingston. And of course, he's looking at it from a housing standpoint. A lot of economic analysis of housing in the greater Puget Sound area. So it was well worth the price of admission. Speaking in the category of brilliant presentations, there was a port report that was absolutely brilliant. Put on by our own executive director, well received. Last thing is one of the roundtable sessions had to do with the no discharge zone in Puget Sound. And Jerry, I can't remember Jerry's last name, he's the environmental guy.
Keith.
His spiel on that is that the no discharge zone is done, finished, fait accompli. It's here, it's coming. There's just, there is some appeal of the process still going through litigation, but his perception is that they're not going to be any changes. And even if there are, the WPPA didn't want to get into the optics of opposing something like that, so it's probably going to happen. There is a DOA rulemaking comment period that ends the end of this month, if someone wants to comment on that. One of the comments that came out of the discussion was how far out into the strait the DNZ goes, or the NDZ goes. It's a pretty expansive area. One of the concerns, and this is where my ears started perking up, one of the concerns is the lack of, or the scarcity of facilities to do pump out on anything other than recreational marina, recreational boats. And so when we get to the point of having potentially pump out on the Verlaine with the fast ferry here, we may find ourselves in a very good situation to be able to offer services to commercial users, because we're right smack in the middle. Right now they were talking about there isn't very much between Tacoma and Anacortes. And if we have a commercial capable pump out system here right smack in the middle of the sound, that's outside our breakwater, it's not in a marina, it's deep water access, that could be a very beneficial asset to the port. So that's just one thing to keep in mind as we work through that.
We were approached by
the state agency for granting for such a facility, because they had the same thought that you had, that we're in a great place for a commercial pump out, probably type one, pump out systems. But so they had approached us saying, why don't you do this, but we weren't in a position to do all that. But there's probably grant money that may be available for that. But I realize the timing might not work. But they did approach us. Mm-hmm. So it was when we were in the boat show last time.
So basically, Kitsap Transit's building that for us, right?
Excuse me?
Kitsap Transit is providing that.
That's in the plan, yes.
How's this being discussed? Okay. So there's that would have to be, somebody else's use of that would have to be
right. Which would be
negotiated.
Fine when the boat's gone. They were just on the other side.
Yeah, do two-sided pump out.
Yeah.
There would be a flowage fee, though, we'd have to charge, because we're going to be charged for sewage as it comes off.
Right. This is a joke. I just want to make sure this knows. I think maybe we need to appoint a particular commissioner who will be in charge of garbage, sewer, and pump out.
That would cover the line item.
That would cover the line item.
But I thought there were three factors on there and three commissioners. So I we draw straws.
Yeah.
No, you and I choose, and the new commissioner takes what's left over.
Well, interesting choice of words.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all I have on the WPPA. After I've absorbed that much, I went home.
Thank you. Thank you. But I'd be very interested to look at some of those materials that you... So. All right. The next scheduled meeting is the 20th of December. Except that we also have our work sessions in early December, but the next scheduled commission meeting is the 20th of December, and that includes your swearing in. You had said last meeting that you didn't know if you would be available on the 20th.
I really won't know. I'm going to meet next week with State Ferries, and then there's supposed to be a meeting after that, so that would fall that week.
Okay.
But I'll... on truck in there. But they don't meet during the evening, so I make the party regardless.
Yeah. Great. Okay, well, is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion of that wonderful idea? All in favor? Thank you.
That's the